to destruction. And lots of people will walk on it. But the road that leads to life is narrow, and only a few will find it. Let the people who listen to this walk on the narrow road and find God in their hearts. Amen.
Welcome. You're listening to the One Way Radio Network, sponsored by Legacy Educational Institute, which is a 501c3. And your host today, my name is David Gallner. I'm the founder and CEO of this nonprofit called Legacy Educational Institute. And of course, the radio show is called One Way Radio Network. In fact, our website is onewaytoheaven.com, not .org, but .com. Why do we say that? Well, we're going to talk about something. There's only one way. And the question is, are you on the narrow road or are you on the wide road? Many people believe there's more than one way. As long as you're a good person, you'll get to go to heaven. Now, who defines what good is? Well, we'll talk more about that, but the Bible doesn't define that at all. That's your source. You always want to look what the source is. The Bible, the word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, John 1:1 and John 1:14. So Legacy Educational Institute, which is a 501c3, as I mentioned before, is located at 3087 Innovation Way, Hermitage, PA, in the development called Linden Point. So if you're heading, say, south on Route 18, you'll pass Staples. It's first traffic light past Staples. Turn left where the fourth building on the left, catty corner from Bonner County Community College. You're coming the other direction, heading north. You'll pass Sheets. Sheets is on the right. Combines is on the left. Go to the next traffic light. Turn right. You'll see Innovation Way. It says development called Linden Point. And you'll see the fourth building on the left. You'll see Legacy Financial Strategies, Innovation Tax Service, and Legacy Educational Institute. It's all the same building. Doesn't matter what door you come in, because I'll mention some of these resources that some of you have taken advantage of. If you can't make it, I'll talk about some of them that you can get your hands on them anyways, and we'll pay shipping and handling. But if you go to the site, onewaytoheaven.com, and care to make a donation, you go through there. But we have another radio show we do on Saturday. Of course, this is Sunday, 8:30 a.m. to 9 a.m. But we have another show on Saturday morning from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. called the Dave and Sherry Show, sponsored by Legacy Financial Strategies. And where we talk about financial planning, estate planning, tax planning, wealth planning, unit investment, or savings. We have a variety of different strategies. So let me give you their website if you want to check that out. It's LegacyFinancialService.com, LegacyFinancialService.com. That's a website, but if you click on the affiliate button, you'll see another six websites, a total of seven, including OneWayToHeaven.com. So lots of good information. You can check us out there. Our local number, if you'd like to call us, is 724-983-1617, 724-983-1617. Our toll-free number is 800-264-4963. I'll even give you my cell, 724-699-3789. Well, you've heard me mention many times in the past the organization called the ICR, Institution Creation Research. You know, they have in Kentucky, you've heard about the Noah's Ark. Well, that's a great website that you can donate money to, also Living Waters. So here's an interesting article that I popped up. I'm going to read to you. Can we be inclusive of all views. Remember, God loves everyone. That's right, all. He wants all, A-L-L, to come to repentance. Many people were called, but few are chosen. So man's appointed once to die, then comes the judgment. What kind of judgment are we talking about? It's either the great white throne judgment for non-believers, which will spend eternity in hell, not because God wants to. That's your choice. And if you are a believer, we'll talk about how to become a believer. Then your works will be tested by fire. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. But you'll be in heaven. So what is the secret? Is there a secret to spend eternity in heaven? And where do I get this information? From the Bible. Many places throughout the Bible. So the first step is repentance. There is no salvation without brokenness, repentance. But I didn't add really a step, but you're not going to repent, ask for godly sorrow for forgiveness, unless you do what? You recognize that and you have to humble yourself. Because many people I talk to think they're pretty good. What's the Bible say? The Bible says there's none righteous. No, not one. All have sinned, fall short glory of God compared to a righteous holy God. Isaiah 64:6, I'm paraphrasing it. You and I are filthy rags. Those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. So James 4:10 says you must humble yourself before the Lord and lift you up. So humble, then repent. That's a godly sorrow. And then what's the next step? Believe Jesus Christ. Yes, the narrow road. Narrow. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. It's deity, fully God, fully man, because a lot of cults believe he's the Son of God, but not the God. Hypostatic union, fully God, fully man. So believe, and then when you believe, after you've repented and believe, you receive. You still have old nature, then you have new nature, then the Lordship become. Then you want to get plugged in a Bible base, Christ Center, family oriented church, start reading the book of John, then Genesis, and then make sure they preach the word in season, out of season, start reading your Bibles. So I said, let me start with the book of John, then Genesis. Go to church, do not forsake the assembly, the one that preaches the word in season, out of season, read your Bible, the word is lamp under my feet, light in my path. Prayer, Bible study. So you never, ever arrive. The church I go to is Truth in Grace Fellowship, 786 Karen Lane, Hermitage, PA. Their website is Truth Grace Fellowship. Two services on Sunday, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. So can we be inclusive of all views? In June, while promoting the LGBTQ worldview by commemorating what some call Pride Month, Kentucky's governor, he's a real piece of work, by the way, posted this on social media. He said, I'm proud to stand and celebrate our LGBTQ plus neighbors from being the first Kentucky governor to proclaim Pride Month. So he's celebrating sin, obviously. Remember, God loves all. He wants all to kind of repent, but you don't celebrate sin. To standing against hateful legislation, I'm going to keep fighting, he said, for what's right. According to who? A more equal and inclusive future for all. The Bible says we are to hate evil and love good. Woe to say evil is good and good is evil. In the response post, Ken Hansen, I made about this, I stated, I want to know what Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear means by more equal and inclusive. The Ark Encounter and the Creation Museum are the two leading Christian theme attractions in the world, and they have billions of dollars of positive economic impact on the state of Kentucky. And yet, when Governor Beshear is giving talks of tourism on and listing tourism facility, he never, never, never mentions the Ark for Creation Museum. I wonder why. Well, he's a heathen. That's why. When I look up the definition of inclusive, I found this from Oxford Language. Ken Ham says, including or covering all the services, facilities, or items normally expected or required. Number two, not excluding any of the parties, groups, involved in something, but we can really be truly inclusive everything. Well, actually, we can't. The way people like Governor Beshear use the word implies that we can be neutral, but as you can see, Governor Beshear is not neutral when it comes to promoting tourist attractions in Kentucky. He basically excludes the Ark, which is the biggest theme attraction in the state. And Ken Ham says, my point is bringing this up is that there is no such position as neutral one. Everyone has a worldview, and the worldview you will have always exclude some things. That's just the fact of life. The Bible makes it clear that a person is either for or against. Remember, draw a line in the sand. What side are you going to be on? That's from Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. Walks in light or darkness. John 8, 12. And builds a house on the rock or the sand. Matthew chapter 7, 24, verse 27. Talks about the narrow road. There's no neutral position, folks. He said, I had LGBT people argue with me, Ken Ham says, about the topic of marriage, stating that I was being intolerant because I hold that there's only one valid view of marriage, one man for one woman, as found on God's word in Genesis. They claim they were the tolerant ones because they allow all views about marriage. Well, they're mocking God. However, I explained to them that they actually do not allow all views about marriage, as they do not allow my view based on God's word, which states, what? There's only one legitimate view. Then they countered that I was not allowing their view, but I reiterated that they were also allowing my view that there's also only one true definition of marriage. Amen to that. He said, we had this clash of worldviews because none of us can all be inclusive. In this case, our positions are anti-ethical to each other. The LGBTQ group won't include God's view that there's only one definition of marriage because it contradicts the perverted view. And because my worldview is based on the Bible, I can't condone this view, neither can I. Which allows for what? Different definitions of marriage in contradiction to God's word. Obviously, LGBTQ people can't be all-inclusive, and neither can Christians. Now, all that doesn't mean I hate them. No, God loves all. Even though they often claim such a clash of real views is just that, it's important to recognize that disagreement doesn't equal hatred. However, we do indeed have different worldviews because we have different foundations. I build my worldview on God's word, beginning with the literal interpretation of Genesis chapter 1 through 11, they build theirs on man's world, which results in shifting morality. So the question is, what side are you on? There's a line in the sand. And I said two judgments, the Bema judgment or the Great White Throne judgment. You're listening to the One Way Radio Network, sponsored by Legacy Educational 2. I want you to listen to an important message, and we've got another hot topic we're going to talk about.
Retired or planning to retire soon? Do you want to save money by paying less on your taxes? Then let the experts at Legacy Financial show you how by visiting LegacyTaxBill.com right now. Use Legacy's Tax Bill Calculator. Fill in the value of your IRA, 401k, and other qualified plans. Retirement is something you've worked your whole life for, so don't let the IRS take that away. Go to LegacyTaxBill.com.
Go to LegacyTaxBill.com. Listen to the One Way Radio Network, sponsored by Legacy Educational Institute. Your host today, my name is David Gallner. Legacy Educational Institute, we formed that nonprofit, a 501c3, approximately 14 years ago. Check us out, onewaytoheaven.com. OneWayToHeaven.com. Our local number is 724-983-1617. Our toll-free number is 800-264-4963. My cell number is 724-699-3789. Legacy Educational Institute is located at 3087 Innovation Way, Hermitage, PA, 16148, and a development called Linden Point. Some of the resources we've been giving out, we have a lot more than I just usually mentioned. One is called The Case for Christ by Lee Strobel. Very powerful witnessing tool. Remember, we don't do the convicting, the converting, the saving. Who does that? Our job is to tell. The Holy Spirit does the convincing, the convicting, the converting, and the saving. Our job is to tell. So help us fill the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20, and Acts 1:8. Then we have Biblical Answers About Heaven by Randy Elkhorn, the condensed version. $1 trillion bill and $1 million bill. It looks real. People, believe it or not, will don't throw those away because they have a lot of fun and show their friends. But you know what's on the backside? The gospel message. The gospel message. And then from Evangelist Explosion, on the outside has two question marks. Question mark number one, where will you spend eternity? Or are you one that says, well, I hope to be in heaven? No, you don't want to hope so. You want to know so. So what's the secret? Humble, repent, believe, receive, become. That's the secret. And next question, if you say, heaven, why should God let you in? What would you say? Has there been a time and place that you have repented and accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Has there? So we're going to talk about something unusual. Again, this came from Ken Ham. Tulsi Gabbard promises Americans the truth about aliens. And I'm going to give you a quick story about a church that I used to attend. This pastor talked about that, and I'll tell you what I said to him. But let's talk about this humbleness. Whom are you exalting? This is taken from Proverbs chapter 27, verse 2. Let another praise you and not your own mouth. Folks, I own nothing. Everything that has my name belongs to God. I'm a human zero. That's the way you should look at it. There is no more obvious sign of pride than the constant need to talk about yourself. Remember I said before, those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble will be exalted. If you constantly feel the need to justify your actions, let people know how well you've done, or replay your past achievements, there may be pride in your life. We all have to guard about that. This comes from the desire to prove your worth, to give evidence to people that you are worthy of love and respect. But friend, there's only one who can truly judge your value or give life significance. And who is that? God Almighty, Jesus Christ. Yet, that's why pride is so destructive in the life of a believer. It overemphasizes the self and refuses to admit a need for God. We, you, me, ourselves, are the source of our success and happiness, and all of our attention is focused on our good rather than on the Father. However, Jesus warned, everyone who's exalted himself, as I said, will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. So today, examine what you say. Are you constantly boasting yourself and your confidence? If there's pride within you or me, we and I need to what? Deal with it immediately. Because conceit can lead you only to pain, isolation, and desolation. It cannot protect your reputation or raise you up in others' opinions. It can't make you love or respect you. Rather, it can only what? Warp your understanding and make you an adversary of God, the one who most loves you and the best helps you. So the root, the pride of our heart, by acknowledging you and I need for the Lord in every area of our life. He's the only way, the one who has empowered you and I to become all you and I were created to be. And he's the only one who is truly worthy of praise. So Father, please forgive me for the times I've exalted myself instead of you. I need you and acknowledge that you are the only one worthy of my praise. Amen. So let's switch gears here, because I had a pastor. He was a very new pastor. He was in my Bible study. And he talked about, in the Bible, potentially there could be people from outer space. And I took him aside. I made sure I replayed it on the audio that I had it down right. And he says, well, I didn't say there were. I just said there could be. And, of course, I said to him, I could say there could be some aliens on top of my roof. I'm not saying there, but there could be. Or I could say I could jump off the roof and there may not be any gravity. How do I know? Because the Bible doesn't show that. So according to Ken Ham, he says, you don't have to wait for Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard to fulfill her recent promise to continue to look for the truth about aliens and sharing that truth with American people to get the truth about extraterrestrials. You just look at where? God's Word. That's the secret sauce, folks. During a recent interview, first of all, you have to humble, repent, believe, receive, and become, and then God will reveal these to you. During a recent interview, Gabbard was asked about videos of UFOs. Is there anything we've had some declassification of some very strange videos that look like they are unidentified flying objects? Is there anything in the files that you think you could find or have found? And her response was rather cryptic. Nothing, she said, that I am prepared to talk about today. There are a lot of questions. There are a lot of things been put out there. I'm still going through and looking through what do we know and what is it that we don't know. As Gabbard and other team continues to investigate strange videos and objects that are difficult to fully identify, we will find evidence of alien life having visited Earth. No, she will not. How can I be so confident? Ken Ham says, well, because I have God's Word. That's what I said to this gentleman. And it gives me three primary reasons not to believe in intelligent aliens. Number one, Earth was created to be inhabited. Where did I get that from? The book of Isaiah, chapter 45, verse 18, tells us that God specifically formed earth to be what? Inhabitant. We are certainly see that to be true. Doesn't matter what extreme environment scientists visit, from the dark, cold depths of the ocean floor or piping hot oceans, vents to intensely salty or chemical-laden poles in remote places. Number two, Earth is the focus of God's attention. When you read through Genesis 1, that's why John, Genesis, chapter 1, you will notice that the earth is that God's focus. We are given details in God's forms and fills the earth over five of the 6 days of creation. But when it comes to the heavens, which are mind-bending vast, we're told God created two great lights for earth's sake, and then he made the stars. Also, Genesis chapter 1, verse 16, yes, Earth is the focus, not the universe. And number three, the gospel is for who? Humans, not E.T. When Adam fell, everything began to groan from the effects of sin. Romans chapter 8, verse 22. So if there are intelligent beings living on a distant planet or next door to Mars, they too suffer from the effects of sin, and yet, they cannot be saved. Jesus became the God-man, deity, hypostatic union, fully God, fully man. Not the God-Martian, or God-Klingon, and stepped into history to die on the cross and rise again, paying a penalty for who? Human sin. He's called the last Adam because he's directly related to Adam, and therefore the only perfect substitute for us. It is only humans that can be saved. So by the extension, we understand aliens don't exist. Now, Ken Ham says, make a note. This is not me saying aliens are going to hell. As reporters have accused me, Ken Ham said, of saying that in the past. This is me saying the gospel message being only for Adam's race means aliens do not exist. Period. Always check the source. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John chapter 1, verse 1 and John 1:14. So thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you next week. And remember this. This is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it.
Secrets. Oh, this is why I